Can you hear me? Oops. Can you hear me?
I can. I just made you the host.
Okay. Hey, I just got the phone with Pam. She's running about 5 to 7 minutes late.
Okay. Hey, you know what? In the packet, I'm looking for that big matrix. The matrix, the summary of comments.
Wasn't that the last one on there?
15. I'm looking at the one you sent out. Special meeting notice. Special meeting agenda. Is it on here?
It doesn't get sent to them. It's on the website in the packet.
It's on the website.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't send that to them.
No, no.
That's going to confuse them.
Yeah, Brenda always wants to do it kind of the same way. Do you know what I'm saying? You send out this, like the agenda and things like that, but not, you know, just say it's on the website. So
yeah, hopefully they, I just wonder, it'll be interesting to see if they actually, because they asked us specifically to send it to them. And hopefully, I was hoping they would have reviewed it. Now, if they didn't know to go find it on the website, then they didn't review it. That's going to be a bummer.
Well, let's see here. What did my, I know my email directed them that way. Now, if they did it.
Yeah, hopefully they did.
You know what I mean?
I think what I'm going to do is go ahead and send it out to them because they will be on their computers.
Yeah.
In case we need to talk about, I mean, I think we do need to talk about it.
Let's see. Attached, you'll find special meeting notice, agenda, and then the draft for the 6-9 meeting.
Mm-hmm.
The website has also been updated, which includes the packet material.
Hopefully they went and got it.
Yeah, but just to let you know, that's how it was worded.
Yeah, that's good. Thanks.
So, okay. And you heard me, she's going to be about 5 to 7 minutes late.
Yep.
So do you just stall? Or do we start without her?
No, we'll wait for her.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. Okay.
I think I'm going to go ahead and mute myself so we don't have stuff on the recording, okay?
Oh, that's right.
I made you host, so you're going to want to make you're going to want to make me co-host.
Do that right now. Okay. And we'll mute.
Am I unmuted?
Yes, you are, Dave. I can hear you just fine.
Oh, I got to take this out. Okay, there we go. Okay.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, John. Pam's running about 5 to 7 minutes late. So at 6 o'clock, I'll probably make an announcement that we're going to start a little bit late. And we'll wait. Okay.
Barb, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Steve.
Is there something else I need to do to get my face on there, or is that you?
Your video. So if you hover your cursor down below at the very bottom, you'll see this ribbon show up with your microphone and your video camera. Oh, good, Pam made it. And so do you see?
I see across the bottom, I see a camera, and when I touch it, you come up there.
Let's see. Let me see if I can. Oh, there you. Oh, no, that's Pam coming on. Let's see. I'm going to ask you to start your video. Sometimes you have to do it that way. Let's see. Did you get a?
There we go.
Good. Hi, Pam.
Hey, how's that?
Pretty good. We're seeing a pink background.
Oh,
you have to cover your cameras now. Isn't that the weirdest thing?
Oh, hi, everybody.
Hey, thanks. You made it. Hey, looks like Weston's coming on here.
Oh.
working from home and here to help. Here's a tip. Get half off the amazing iPhone 11 on AT&T, America's fastest network for iPhones. Second tip, you can put googly eyes on your staff to keep yourself company. For example, that's Geraldo. He's my best friend.
Let's see, whose is that? Whose microphone is that?
Get the amazing iPhone 11 for half off on AT&T, America's fastest network for iPhone.
It's Weston.
Sorry.
Yeah, if you click on the participants thing, you can see the microphone and what the volume is for each one.
Uh-huh.
So you can tell, okay, who's speaking?
Yep.
Oh, a new commissioner.
Looks like we're all here, aren't we? Oh my goodness.
Is Dave Amber here?
Hi. Amber.
Oh, Dave's there?
I believe we probably could get started. Who are we missing? Oh, let's see. Commissioner Lekontic. I think that's the only person that I see missing here.
Did you hear from Richard?
I did not.
All right. So we'll go through the roll call and just note him as unexcused and absent or however.
Okay.
All right. Are we ready?
Yeah, I am.
All right. Good evening. Welcome to the special meeting of the Planning Commission of the City of Black Diamond, June 15th, 2020. We are here to finish the topics of conversation from our last regular meeting. At this point in time, Clerk Karina, could you please do the roll call?
Did you want to do flag salute first?
Yes. So if we could do flag salute, that'd be great.
I'm going to stand this time.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Can you guys see that?
Can do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands,
one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank you, commissioners. Some things just feel good to be done the same. Now, at this point in time, Karina, could you please do our roll call?
You bet. Commissioner Lekontic. Commissioner Jensen?
Present.
Commissioner Butt?
Present.
Commissioner McCain?
Present.
Commissioner Ekberg?
Here.
Commissioner Amber?
Counted for.
And Commissioner Olson?
Present.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for your attendance. And just as a reminder, there's not going to be any oral or public testimony today. Because of the method of our meeting, that's not being able to be accomplished right now. We did send out a notice that asked for any written testimony to be submitted by a time certain today. I believe that has been received. The commissioners have each gotten a copy of that information. And I think what I'll do is turn this meeting over to Barb Kincaid to get our work session actually step back. We do have the meeting minutes that have already been prepared by our fantastic clerk, Karina. If the commissioners have had a chance to review those meeting minutes from our June 9th meeting, I would entertain a motion to accept those.
I'll make a motion to approve the June 9th meeting minutes.
I'll second.
That's a second by Commissioner Jensen. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motions carried that the June 9th, 2020 minutes have been approved. Thank you, commissioners. All right. I think now we'll go to our next agenda meeting would be to have Ms. Kincaid begin the presentation of materials that we have before us tonight.
Thank you, Chair McCain. And thank you, commissioners, for agreeing to hold this special meeting tonight. We had our first Zoom meeting last Tuesday. It was on our regularly scheduled meeting date. We wanted to see how well that would go. I think it went fine, and we are just started to come back together last Tuesday on the comprehensive plan amendment, the annual amendment. So what our goal is this evening is to have a workshop to be able to draft a preliminary docket for the comprehensive plan amendment, and what we complete this evening would be posted we would need to set up a public hearing. This would be the docket for the Planning Commission's public hearing at your next month's regularly scheduled meeting. I believe I have a phone call coming in from Commissioner LeConte. If we could just, if you wouldn't mind, I'm gonna mute and see if I can help him get. My apologies. I saw him trying to come online here and the phone call's ringing. So let's hope he can. There you are. Were you just calling? There, he's there. Great. I think we can unmute you.
Okay, I was trying to call yours.
There we go. There. Wonderful. Glad you joined us.
Because I didn't get an email from him.
You didn't get the email with the link?
No.
Okay. Well, we will have to figure out what happened there, but I'm glad you found us.
Okay.
May I interrupt? A question for the clerk. Can we how does the roll call reflect this late participation?
I added that he joined the meeting at 6:07.
Excellent. Okay.
And he owes us each a Snickers bar.
Perfect. Sounds good to me. All right. Okay. So let's continue.
Okay. So the goal for this evening is, as I was saying, to work together to draft our preliminary docket for the 2020 Annual Comprehensive Plan Amendment. This document that we produce tonight would be the subject of a Planning Commission public hearing for next month's regularly scheduled meeting. I wanted to say a little bit about the comments that we had coming in today. There were 15 emails, and several of them spoke to the fact that they want to be able to have all of the items that had been discussed for amending the comprehensive plan. They wanted everything on the docket to go to hearing so that they would have an opportunity to speak to every single thing. What I'm suggesting is that the approach that we take tonight is much more targeted. It does not eliminate folks from being able to say what they want to say at the hearing. We still hold a hearing. What we have on our preliminary docket that is the subject of the public hearing does not disallow people from giving their testimony to say, I am so-and-so, I spoke to this last year, please consider whatever for the docket. So that's the venue. I sensed from some of these emails that folks were worried they would not get that opportunity. I just wanted to make that very clear that we are not, by coming up with a very targeted preliminary docket to have a hearing on, we're not disclosing the opportunity for people to be able to come in and give you that testimony that is so important for us to hear.
This is Dave Amber. What about the issues that they bring up? Can they get put on the docket at a later date? Or if it's not on this preliminary docket, are their issues just put off until next year?
Well, remember, your job as planning commissioners is to hear their testimony. This is not your final recommendation. What we're producing and working on tonight is not your final recommendation to City Council. This is what we're working on through our discussion. Then when folks come in and we have a lot of public input to work with. It's not as though we haven't heard anything from anybody. We have that matrix, five-page matrix that goes through all of the testimony that we received when we had a hearing on the amendment last year. You know, you have the emails from last meeting attached to the minutes, and you also have been forwarded. I know you haven't had time to read those yet, but you've also, so there's a lot of, I guess what I'm trying to say is that there's this ongoing dialogue that you're receiving with folks and their input and what they think. And so, the opportunity doesn't go away. If your job is to come up with, based on that, based on what we discussed tonight, and based on what you hear at the public hearing, they don't add at this point. You add or delete based on the testimony you hear next month. And so then you end up at that public hearing with your recommendation. So the process is developed in a way that it can be iterative. And so it is your job to listen to people and to ask staff questions and get my recommendations. And in the end, you would be placing or removing things from the docket as you see fit from the end of your process. Does that make sense, Commissioner Amber?
Yeah, okay.
So we have, first of all, I thought it would be great to start with the discussion about the emails we received and have read. Does anybody want to start a conversation about that? I can kind of briefly, I categorized what I read in a few you know, summarized it a little bit, and I'm happy to share that with you. But, you've got people that are obviously concerned about growth, unmanaged growth. Some people are concerned about any growth. You have folks that are based, on growth, very concerned, and rightfully so, on the transportation issues, the congestion. I have to say we had some very thoughtful input, and I appreciate the folks that are taking their time to study and to think about all of this. And you also had a category of people that really want to see the comprehensive plan be rescinded back to the old comprehensive plan map. I think they're mainly just concerned about the mapping changes. when the suggestion is to go back, that, and I just have held on that it is, that is not something that I would recommend that we tackle. And I've got several reasons why. First of all, that's, you know, the adoption of the comprehensive plan was challenged with to the growth board. It was upheld by the growth board, including the map. So, you know, people that are saying that what we did was improper or there's a challenge, whether it was valid, it isn't, certainly is valid. I'm not saying that we don't want to entertain the idea of looking at it. In fact, I've never said that, but I am saying, let's be thoughtful. I am very comfortable that the changes we made, they were very pretty minor changes, that they were thought out and warranted, but we have people that disagree with us. And I think that that is something for us to dive into. But as you remember, this year is basically a short session, if you will, for us. And what we need to stay very focused on is getting our full certification from the Puget Sound Regional Council and working with them very closely to address those items that they need to have addressed. In that, sort of wrapped up in the comp plan map and the growth and doing what we need to do is a full build out analysis, which takes time. And one piece of that is housing needs. And I think that I've shared with you that we did receive a $50,000 grant from the Department of Commerce Growth Management Act Division to do a housing analysis and a housing action plan. That work will be done starting this year, finishing up next year. And the results of that will be very valuable for us when we work on our 2021 amendment and look at that, you know, in conjunction with the land use build out to really look at this concern that folks have about too much residential growth and how do we accommodate affordable housing and that sort of thing.
All right, this is Commissioner Amber. Who is targeted in this housing thing that you were just talking about? What is that focusing on? Is it Black Diamond can handle, you know, 500,000 more houses, or Black Diamond is at capacity right now? What is this housing study supposed to do?
The housing action plan that is going to be worked on, the focus of that is to, when we wrote the grant, we wrote it from a different angle. Most of what the state is looking for is cities to increase density to provide for affordable housing options. In our case, we have lots of market rate housing. We've got lots of density and lots of housing out, you know, that's already been permitted for the master plan development. I suspect we have is a gap in housing that's available to different population demographics, probably special needs. So this study will go through and do a very good inventory of the housing that we have existing, housing that will be coming online through the master plan development, and look for those gaps and come out with strategies and policy recommendations for our comp plan and how we can add those into our housing element in the comp plan to be able to address those housing needs, the gaps for affordability and to support special needs populations, elderly, that sort of thing.
Ms. Kincaid, Chairman McCain here. Is it your thought or your impression that many cities received this grant to participate in the study by the PSRC?
Well, this is a grant from Commerce, Chairman McCain. Yes, the Growth Management Division, Department of Commerce. And the grant was, because you know there's such a housing shortage, there was quite a bit of state monies that went out to many cities. Mainly the focus is what can you do to increase density? What can you do to provide for more housing units in your city? Ours was a little bit unique, but yes.
Is it your overall impression, this is Chairman McCain, that we're the only city that's being asked this, or do you think a lot of our smaller suburban cities are being asked to participate in the same kind of study?
No, we asked for the money. They didn't ask us. Okay. We went after that money. Yeah.
And the purpose of that from the city's perspective was?
Was that I think that we know in the 2019 comp plan update that that shows we have an affordability gap. And I suspect that affordability gap is going to widen as we bring on more and more market rate housing.
Commissioner Amber, let's see, all right. And whose fault is that we have a big gap there? Obviously somebody at City Hall wasn't paying attention. And
excuse me, so Commissioner Amber.
Yes.
This is Chairman McCain. I'm gonna ask that we have respectful dialogue with the city and people who contribute to the city. We work as an arm of the city of Black Diamond. Right. And I think it's unfair. Sometimes that comment came to me as being unfair, an unfair criticism of the city. So if we could please keep this on a different level and dig into the most important information and keep our opinions more to the side, that would be appropriate.
Okay, I didn't think it was unfair or disrespectful. I thought it was just we are in this position of there's a affordability gap in housing apparently, and somebody obviously dropped the ball on this, and we don't want that ball to get dropped any further, but are we going to be kicking this can down the road to, let's say somebody's got, there's, I don't know how big that property is on, that's got lots just put on it on not Railroad Avenue, maybe just down from the Eagles place, between Roberts Drive and the Eagles. They just cleared it out, paved it. Let's see. Anyway, are they going to be required to now absorb affordable housing instead of building houses that they want because it wasn't planned for on the MPDs?
Okay, we're going to defer to Ms. Kincaid. She has her hand up. So, Ms. Kincaid.
Yes, thank you. So, so I guess I want to make it clear that the affordability problem is nothing new. Is nothing new. It is not really fully the result of all the new, you know, development. Affordability and housing is something that there's a lot that it's not just the numbers, it's also the, the pressure. As other areas get more and more expensive, it looks pretty affordable for folks, you know, from Redmond or Kent or whatever to move here. So there's that pressure on the existing housing stock, as well as the age and condition of the housing stock. There's a lot of, I don't want to oversimplify this, Commissioner Amber, there's a lot that goes into it. And so this grant will look at all of those different factors and conduct inventories. And so, you know, we're going to be proactive about this.
All right, and Commissioner Amber, I guess my concern is, will the MPD be required to absorb its fair share of affordable housing, or is it going to be allowed to build what it's building now?
Well, we will have to, well, they have a, as you know, they have a permit to build what they've proposed to build, and obviously that cannot be changed, but we will have a housing action plan that gives us some good strategies and guidance going forward about ideas about how maybe to make sure that development comes online and it addresses the affordability issue. Commissioner LeConte had his hand up.
Yes, Commissioner LeConte. With all this new affordable housing, given the fact that we jumped our density up almost four times or even greater than what we have. And in the ensuing traffic problems, you're going to put higher density into a place that doesn't have that much room left over. How are you going to solve any of the problems when they force you to put in a affordable housing?
Well, I think we're all kind of jumping ahead and thinking about things that we're talking about a planning document and inventories and suggested goals and policies to feed into our 2021 that if we could take it back to where we started the discussion, It's about doing a build-out analysis and being able to have good data. If you remember the 2019, all that data collecting, this is the beginning of collecting good data to find out where we are for our next ongoing amendments. So nobody is building affordable housing. You know, there's nothing. We're going to start a planning exercise.
I know, but it's something that's on the horizon. That's going to be dumped on us.
What? Could you explain what's going to be dumped on us, please?
The affordable housing thing that was never in the original plan. That's super high density. When you get affordable housing.
No, not necessarily, but
every time I've seen it, it's been a cramped area that we don't even have the traffic solved for what we've got now.
Well, you know, you talk about some of the things that we already did were the accessory dwelling units. If you remember what we did last year, that was a move towards finding a way to allow for affordable housing. So there's a lot of, people immediately jump to some pictures that aren't necessarily accurate, you know, high density apartment buildings, housing projects, that sort of thing. That I think that's maybe an unfair characterization that you're jumping to.
Yeah, but none of the plans that were shown took care of the high density.
So we won't be.
I've never seen any of the plot areas that were high density.
Well, we're really just talking about starting a plan and getting some inventories and getting some information, gather fact seeking, information seeking. So that'll be on our. We'll be discussing that next year, in great detail, and about what kinds of policies we might need to change. But anyway,
Commissioner Amber, so what are you asking us about this housing action plan? I mean, it's something that the city has already applied for. They've gotten it.
I wasn't asking you about it at all. I was saying that ties into the change in the build out for next year and the change to the land use map, that will help to inform us. I was just explaining all of the ways that we need to begin to look at the future land use map, housing numbers, commercial, industrial lands, all of those things. And that will be something we work on, you know, in depth next year. And that's why I do not recommend that we do anything with the comprehensive plan map this year, and that we just stick to the text.
Well, then is Commissioner Amber again, should the city be accepting new building applications if we're thinking of redoing zoning and stuff like that?
You would have no reason to not continue to accept applications for development. In fact, you would be breaking the law if you didn't, unless you have a moratorium on building, and people have private property rights. So that would be something that I seriously doubt, you know, we would do. I mean, changing zoning is, we don't even know if we will change anything because we don't have enough information. I mean, that's the whole point. We need the information to have that, to even know whether, I suspect we're fine. We won't know that till we get done with our build out analysis.
Commissioner Olson, we received many comments that we should revert to the 2009 map. Can you speak to that?
Yes, that's what I was, thank you, Commissioner Olson. That's what I was just saying, is that many people want us to go back. They don't like the few changes that we made to the 2019 map. They felt like it was upzoning because we took some of the industrial areas and made them into residential areas or commercial areas. So the idea is people felt that, and I don't really know where or what the thought process is behind the idea that we should just default to the old 09 map. But yes, What we did in 2019 were pretty minor changes that were improvements to make for available lands for increasing our ability to have commercial. Along SR 169, we had that one big piece of property along 169 that had been spot zoned years ago to industrial, but it was always commercial. We changed that back so that it's, you know, not a industrial piece of property surrounded by commercial. We did things that were not really all that earth shattering, but folks that disagree with me, and they started to think about how much more development potential there may be, residential units based on those changes. And that's why, you know, again, it's this very heartfelt concern about, we have too much growth now, we should slow growth down, we should manage growth in another, you know, in a better way. And we have so much transportation congestion, how can we even consider putting more houses on any of these lots? So that is, just thinking that's what people are hoping for, to go back to 09, you know, erase any changes that we made to the map in 2019.
Commissioner Olson, so in theory, right now, if we did revert back to that map, what would happen?
In theory, nothing would happen. Nothing would happen.
Well, Commissioner Amber, I didn't know that that industrial zone on 169 got changed to community commercial. I thought we just talked about it. I did not know that that actually got done. And people have an extremely legitimate concern about that being changed to community commercial, because community commercial allows apartment buildings to go up. Right. And that apparently is the plan now along 169 for just a massive row of apartment buildings. Permits have already been issued for that.
Well, first of all, I have to say there have been no permits issued for that. So we have to make sure that we're not spreading bad information.
Well, you told me last week that there was.
I said that application.
Somebody filed an application and that is now vested.
That doesn't mean they've received any permits on it.
But it's vested at the
old. Can you want me to explain what vested means, Commissioner?
I know, pretty sure I know what vested means, but okay. If the city of Black Diamond goes along with this, and yeah, it's got to go through all the permit reviews and all that stuff, but the city of Black Diamond has not shown any inclination to prevent something like that in the past. And so I kind of figure that they've got their application in, it's vested. If we go back, if we change community commercial to take out apartment buildings, that property is vested in and can already put apartments in.
So I do want to make sure that we, and this gets, okay, who do we have that's got noise in the back?
Oh, sorry, that's me.
Okay. So I just want to make sure that you are, that again, I reiterate, the zoning map is the official, they call it the official control. We didn't make any changes to the zoning map.
So that lot on 169 is still zoned industrial?
Yes.
Okay, so it did not change.
It did not change. We did not change the zoning map.
Okay.
We changed the future land use map.
Okay.
Not the zoning map.
Commissioner Jensen, it seems to me that we're spending a lot of time debating perceptions and misconceptions and what happened and what didn't happen and what might happen, rather than getting down to business and taking care of the project that we are actually here to talk about tonight. Am I perceiving this correctly?
Yeah, I believe you're on the right track, Commissioner Jensen.
Well, I think we're, Commissioner Olson, discussing one of the many letters with the zoning and the thing. So I think it's a good conversation because it is something we need to decide on. But I think if we could kind of zone it in and get to a point, I think that would be beneficial.
Correct.
So yeah. Does anyone else have anything they kind of wanted to discuss with the emails we received?
Commissioner Wilson, you know, the only one that stood out was one of the ones that stood out before, and that's by Mr. Costa, and that's the 288th and the traffic. And I know there's a lot of entities to deal with that, so I don't know what can be put forth or talked about, but I think that's a good point.
Mm-hmm. And Chairman McCain, I noticed, you know, a lot of the public input has to do with traffic, and we know that, you know, we are not the controlling entity. The City of Black Diamond is not, with a lot of the traffic headaches that most of the people in the city are suffering. And I do recognize that it's a constant headache and a constant desire of the public to see us do something about that. So I wanted to set those aside because we really can't. I think just to speak a little bit more about the community commercial zoning, what we need and what we had agreed to in previous meetings is, if there was not so much sprawl, if we had services right in the City of Black Diamond, we would cut down on the amount of congestion that we see with the trips back and forth, either to Maple Valley or Enumclaw. And I think having more services in town is going to be a help, and ultimately will help us with that goal of reducing a lot of the traffic counts and the unnecessary trips that we could service right here in the City of Black Diamond.
So, I also just want us to think about the task at hand is not to do the analysis for the proposed amendment. A lot of people put time in, and we will definitely keep this input handy. A lot of people that wrote into you, not just in the last couple of weeks, but also over time last year, they produced proposed land use goals and policies for us to consider. So we will keep that close to us, but what we are really trying to do tonight is make some decisions about, and it has to be a realistic decision about, how much work can we really do this year? How many items can we take on to do in an amendment? So some of them, you know, are more simple than others, but as I said last week, being able to respond to the Puget Sound Regional Council's requirements will take quite a bit of work, particularly in you know, looking for, and this is an important one. I mean, just because we're not putting everything out here because it's not feasible for us to do it, doesn't mean we don't think those things are important and we're not tabling them for another year. That matrix, in many cases, I don't know how many of you had a chance to look at that, the summary of last year's input from, or testimony from our hearing on the amendment. A lot of those things that people would like to see as amendments have a lot of merit, but it's just a matter of, well, you know, I don't think we can deal with this right now, but let's put it on our list, on our work plan. And that's and so that's important to remember. It's not a, no, we're not going to do this, but we have to be very targeted about what can we accomplish this year, what our priorities are this year. And I'm suggesting that the number one priority has got to be the certification from the Puget Sound Regional Council, which is the two things that it wants us to do are the transportation contingencies. And this is a good thing because people are very concerned with this extra development and the congestion and the reliance on the developer to pay for improvements. What's the contingency plan? That's going to take some work on our part to look at what can be done in our comp plan to address that. And then the other item is the alignment with the, really going through all of the plan and looking for what can we do to start working towards better aligning our our growth numbers, our housing and employment numbers with the targets that are adopted by King County. Those are going to take a lot of time and effort. So I just want to say that the list that you have in your packet, maybe we could turn to that list. Maybe we could talk about that list and at least start from there. And then if there's things that are not on that list, we can discuss that.
Chairman McCain, I think that's a good idea. I think under the circumstances with the difficulty in meetings and all that, I would want to defer to you, Ms. Kincaid, to see what we have to prioritize and be realistic about what we can accomplish. You know, we're 5 months behind at this point in time, so I think we have to be succinct, and I believe that we should defer to your recommendations as to what we can really handle and the items of priority.
Commissioner LaConte, I noticed in some of the comments there was the things about the school financing. Is that part of the regional council operation?
No, no, it is not. But the school impact fee ordinance is coming. So we don't show that on our annual amendment docket because the city's attorney and the school districts have been their attorney and just the school district and the city have been working on fast tracking that one thing. So we want to, you will see an amendment that comes through as an emergency amendment. Your job is to consider adopting, it's really a kind of a housekeeping thing in my mind, adopting the names of the specific school capital facility plans. Once that is done, then that sets up the ability for the city council to consider the adoption of a school impact fee ordinance.
Chairman McCain, do they need a recommendation? Does the city council need a recommendation from the planning commission in order to move forward with that issue?
What they will need is your recommendation to adopt, to do an emergency amendment to the comp plan.
And currently we do not have that information, correct?
Correct. We haven't started that. So here's the schedule. I don't want people to get confused with the annual amendment and this one emergency thing. So here's what I'm thinking we would do is that if we get through tonight with a docket that we can put out for public hearing at your July meeting, you would have that hearing in July. And then in your August meeting, you would have a hearing on the emergency ordinance. And this is if the attorney has everything ready for you to adopt the school. So that could be done. And then in August, we pick back up and we go over all the public testimony we received on the annual amendment.
All right, thank you. That sounds more doable. So we have a more succinct set of things that we're going to talk about regarding the comp plan update now. Commissioners, are you all tracking with Ms. Kincaid in this situation? All right, so good. So then how are you going to lead us to the next step that we have to consider?
Why don't we just talk about this if we could? So the first item on the proposed 2020 proposed preliminary comprehensive plan docket, that's in your packet material, just a one page. The first item on there I'm recommending is to add in chapter 3, the park, recreation, trails, and open space element. I don't know, I think you remember anyway, that when we formatted the final 2019 update of the plan, we had formatting issues and we inadvertently made some changes that we did not intend to eliminate. So we want to put those back in. So this number one item is merely making sure that we add the ADA language, equal access under the ADA, to this chapter 3, 3.2 planning framework. that's really going back and fixing something that accidentally got deleted when we did our final format last year. Same with item number 2, chapter 4, the natural environment. In formatting that final document, we somehow deleted. I don't think we deleted it. I think what happened is when we were moving things around in Word, there was a picture that covered up this policy, NE21, and it's to use low impact development. This is a policy that we already decided to adopt. And so in your adopted plan now, it doesn't show up because it got covered up by a picture or deleted or something. So we want to put that back in. In chapter number 3 is a chapter 5, and this is where it gets pretty meaty. The 2 bullet points here is in last Tuesday's, I had said like, well, maybe we should just correct those Scribner's errors in the land use map, figure 5.2. And I'm now suggesting we don't touch the map until we can really do a thoughtful analysis of the build out, and that we will probably have to pick that up next year. Notwithstanding though, the second bullet, where we need to review the land use designation goals and policies for consistency with the vision statement, guiding principles, and general goals and policies. So what I'm really suggesting here on number 3 is let's look at the text first. Because as Commissioner Amber has pointed out, in the chapter 5 land use designations, he feels that we should have a good discussion about whether or not to allow residential development in some of the commercial designations. And also you had people that wrote in about, well, you know, maybe you need to limit that to a certain percentage. So I'm suggesting that we do look at that in this annual amendment, not only because it feeds into the next year with the land use, the build out, but also because it will help us to work towards getting that alignment with our target numbers or our growth numbers with the target numbers. So do you have any questions about what that, I mean, really, I'm saying we're gonna look at the land use designations and we're gonna read them all over again. And we're gonna think about those in the context of whether or not they, as written, are potentially, have the potential, I guess I should say, to create extra growth that may not be desirable in those commercial areas.
Commissioner Olson, I don't have any opposition to any of these bullet points here.
Okay. The next item, number 4, to chapter 7, the transportation and its appendix. This is where Puget Sound Regional Council had a lot to say because their role, I should say, is the is transportation and the funding for transportation dollars. So these bullet points are all taken from, no, I take that back. The first, I'm gonna go through them so I don't misspeak. So the first one is directly from the Puget Sound Regional Council certification report that we referenced that WASDOT had done a study about widening the SR 169, and that's inaccurate information they want us to remove. They also, in the second bullet, this is from their letter about revising text to acknowledge that SR 169 as a highway of statewide significance. The third bullet comes from input, and not only input, but also some practical thoughts. As this year has progressed, transportation maps in the appendix of the comp plan, they show the 2030 transportation network. And I think what I'd really like to do on this bullet is change it to say that we need to not just consider the Southeast Loop connector, but that we need to look at the transportation maps and the text to make sure that that 20 year conceptual transportation network is still valid with what is being planned today. Because it seems to me that there's, we know that the city is working with the Department of DOT on those improvements that the master plan developer is supposed to make. And it, first of all, it was gonna be a signal and there was gonna be a road here and a road there and roundabouts. And I think we really need to make sure that our comprehensive plan, the mapping in particular, illustrates what is the most up-to-date information. And I'm not sure that it does. So that's something that's, and in the originally third bullet came from the Oak Point, Colin of Oak Point, where he said that he would like to see us show an alternate Southeast Loop connector location, because it kind of mirrors what I just said. We don't really know where that's going to go, but if the map shows these alternative to the where the Southeast Loop connector location is currently showing, then it lets people better understand what could happen in the future. This is really, I think, in my opinion, a move towards being more transparent. But I would like to expand that now, now that I've had conversations with some of the other staff about, and not only just the other staff, but also doing pre-application meetings and working with folks that are trying to get a handle on where these roads are going to be located. And I think that there's room for improving the map.
All right, this is Commissioner Amber. Now this, you're wanting to add an alternative connection from the MPD from 10 Trails onto 169 on the southeast area, is that correct?
That is not correct. So what I'm suggesting that we do is that we look at the text and the map, and we look at whether or not they are accurate, and we look at that with the proposal that was given last year about, well, you know, the map right now shows a potential location for the Southeast Loop connector, but that may not be the best alternative. So we really need to, like I said, talk to the MDRT folks who are working with DOT and the master plan developer to make sure that the map and the text correctly describes and illustrates where those proposed roads are potentially going to go in the 20-year build out.
Commissioner Amber again, well, if you think, or the city of Black Diamond thinks, that this current spot where the Southeast Loop connector is going to come in, it must have been a good idea at the time, and now you're saying it's not a good idea to have it there?
You know, what I'm saying is that when you're doing a conceptual map, that's a concept map, you never know the exact location of anything until it actually goes into design. And so we know that the roundabout at Roberts and Ravensdale is now starting to go into this design discussion. So what we have in our map for our 20-year concept map of the transportation network in 2035, I think we have better information that we need to look at, and we need to make sure that we have the best information on our concept map based on what we know today. And they aren't locations, Commissioner Amber. They're possibly where, you know, these things might go to connect, but you don't know the exact location until you get into that design phase, which is in a lot of those roads, like the pipeline and things, that's not far off, but it hasn't been talked about in design. But we do know that the roundabout is already in discussions about design with DOT.
All right, Commissioner Amber, so are
when you're talking about the Southeast Connector, are you talking about the Five Corners roundabout, or is the South, I'm imagining the Southeast Connector is down by the gorge.
Yeah, that's the one. So this bullet was written, it was a carryover from last year based on input from Oak Point, who gave testimony when we had that hearing, that said, would you please revise that map to show an alternative location for the Southeast Loop Connector. And that's why that's here today, because it's a reasonable request for the transparency for people to know, like, the Southeast Loop Connector was conceived that it might go here or it might go there. But now I'm saying it's not just about the Southeast Loop Connector. I think we need to make sure that we have this map figure is as accurate as possible for all of the potential locations for the new roads. And it may not change much, but I would feel much, much better about that. And the one that keeps coming up with me is the pipeline road.
Is this change that you're proposing going to commit the city to doing something to where now Oak Point or some other developer can come in and say, well, we don't care what you wanted. This is what you said was maybe okay, so we want this. Is this locking the city into something?
No, and see, that's where we have to make it, we have to know that the concept map is not locking the city or the developer into anything. We know that they have to build. The lock-in is that they have to build the improvement, and so the network could look like that. Again, it's conceptually, and also we don't know, and so this is still just at the list stage. I'm suggesting that, I think we ought to look at that map figure, and I think we ought to have a discussion about, when I can go back and do my research and find out if that map is still accurate today or if there's some changes that need to be made. And then I would bring that to you when we're working on the actual amendment.
Okay.
So then the next bullet down, 1, 2, 3, fourth bullet down under this fourth docket item to transportation. And this is from the PSRC directly, that we need to work on a more detailed explanation of contingency plans. And I've been talking about that. We relied heavily in what we have written and adopted that the MPD will build it. They're on the hook to build it. And PSRC says, well, that's all fine, but what happens if there's a funding shortfall or something occurs and they don't complete it or they don't fund it? Where's your contingency? So we need to work on that and think about that in an amendment. And then the adopted six-year TIP, I added that. That's a highlighted. In fact, the highlights on your list are different from the one you saw last Tuesday. So the city council is going to, this Thursday, they're going to talk about the TIP, the Transportation Improvement Plan, and they'll have a hearing. They will adopt it. And I don't know if you guys are, If I tell you something that you already know, I'm sorry, but I'd rather do that than not talk about it. But the TIP is what we call a functional plan. It's adopted every 6 years, and that's basically the list of road improvements that the city is committing to. They may not have them all funded, but they prioritize them in this plan, and they try to put funding to them. So it's very important that our comp plan have the most up-to-date adopted TIP. So we need to adopt that. The fifth bullet on this is similar to that last bullet, where The Public Works Department has, they will be finishing up an updated comprehensive water plan, and they did already adopt an updated sewer plan. Those are also considered functional plans. Our comprehensive plan needs to, just like the school plans, we need to make sure that we adopt these updated plans because the inventories and the implications of the budget and the way that the city's water and sewer system and transportation system and improvements, scheduled improvements, that's all in part of the general overall umbrella of our comprehensive planning. And then the last one, it was from last week also, is that, you know, we've got to go through all the plan chapters with an eye for anything that may, this is a broad one, but anything that may appear inconsistent with the growth targets, because we have to show to the Puget Sound Regional Council that we have looked at this and seriously tried to figure out how we can either suggest the adoption to council of new goals or policies to get better aligned, or if we do see something that that may be counter productive to that goal in the end, then we would want to address it. So that was the list that I had. Now, based on the, and I think that that's a reasonable docket to address things that in my mind are high priorities. And I believe that's a reasonable amount of work that we could do, because remember, it's June, you have a hearing on this docket in July, you make a recommendation to council. Council holds, maybe they hold a hearing, but in probably sometime in August, they would return it back to you. They will be the final decision makers on if they want to add something, if they want to remove something. They have the authority to do that in the final decision. They send it back to you. So now we're into September, maybe October. That gives us just a couple of months to actually dig in and make these amendments, propose these amendments to the public, have a hearing, and get a recommendation back to council. So that's why I'm concerned. While I say we have some terrific ideas from the public, we table those because we can't get in a situation where we're trying to do more than we can reasonably do in this year.
Right. Chairman McCain here, Ms. Kincaid. So the topic of the public hearing in July, and what is going to be the topic of that public hearing?
This list, whatever. This list, whatever this list looks like, I'm hoping tonight, again, it's the commissioner's, your discretion. I'm hoping that we could come up with a list tonight that we feel comfortable enough to set a public hearing in July. And that list goes out and folks get to give testimony on the list. You would then consider their testimony and make formulate your final recommendation on this list to the city council.
All right, Chairman McCain, just quickly, what do we have time to do tonight that we need to do in preparation for that public hearing? Are you going to highlight some issues above others and prioritize them differently?
Nope. I would like for the commissioners to weigh in on my proposed list and to make changes to it, or let's talk about things that you think we need to add or take away or something from this list. Right off the bat, the only thing that I'm suggesting that we change was that bullet, the language in that bullet, 1, 2, 3, 4, bullet under the Chapter 7 transportation, that I would like to change that to not just revising for an alternative southeast loop connector, but that we look at the description and the map for the the future concept, the 20-year transportation network concept, to make sure that our map is accurately depicting what we know now. That would be the only thing that I would suggest changing from my list, but of course I would like for commissioners to think about this and what they think, if anything, needs to be added or reworded or deleted.
Commissioner Jensen, so I hear you saying that you feel like that you want to expand the part that deals with the traffic and transportation and those kinds of things, which is an item that is of great concern to a lot of the public and the comments that we're hearing too. So I would concur that that would be something that does need to be expanded and go into a little bit more detail and not just that one fine point.
Thank you.
Commissioner Amber, that kind of ties into the point you had, the bullet point you had about contingencies on if things are not, if goals are not met, how does the city, if funding is not made available, what are the contingencies for the city of Black Diamond? How do they get that funding or whatever? That is, I think that kind of ties in with the transportation issue that you're talking about, but I think that is an important piece.
Mm-hmm. Commissioner Amber, this is Chairman McCain. So are you looking at the docket paperwork that we have in front of us? Mm-hmm. So are you, what chapter are you, are you referring to a bullet point in particular?
Yeah, he's at, Chair McCain, he's on number 4. He's a 1, 2, 3, 4th bullet point on item 4.
Okay. All right. So that was my question. Thank you for answering, Ms. Kincaid.
Commissioner LaConte, where do we find the highway map that you're talking about?
The map is in the transportation appendix in the adopted comp plan. I think it might be actually the last page of the comp plan. There are several map figures. So do you have a copy? You can get it online if you don't have a copy, or I can send one to you. So the—
Send the map.
The map is, yes, I will send you the map.
I make sure I got the right one.
Yes.
Could you send me a copy of that map as well, Commissioner Jensen?
Yep, I will.
I'll take a copy, Barb. Commissioner. Yeah,
I'll just send the map out. I'll just send the map out to everybody then. And part of this conversation too, I don't know if you had a chance to look through that matrix, because that was what we really wanted to pick up from the 2019. Did any of you have a chance to sort of look through that?
Commissioner Eckberg, mm-hmm. I looked through it. There were 60 total comments, did some counts, and 23 of them said that the comment does not prompt the staff to take action. Mm-hmm. And of them were the staff does not recommend.
Right.
So the total of that, out of 60, there were 7 comments that were somewhat acceptable, and the rest were rejected. It seems like we should probably go through that list a little more to see if we can pick up some of the good ideas that the public suggested.
Sure.
A little more than 10%.
Do the other commissioners have that matrix in front of them?
Yeah,
I've got so many matrices in front of me.
I'm thinking we could just share the screen. I'm not.
It's kind of hard to do because it goes on several pages.
It does, and it's going to be really tiny if we do that, isn't it?
Yeah, I tried to print it, and I had to print those specific pages in Landscape just to be able to read it. It's like 2.2 point font is too small for me. So.
So I can, you know, we talk on the very first one is that we had the TAT, Peter Rimbos, and he calls his group the TAT, the Technical Advisory Team, I think. And so they really went into just a terrific amount of technical detail that, that you're right. Most of it, my comment on most of that was that, well, we hired a transportation expert with transportation planners and engineers to draft, actually do the modeling and draft the Chapter 7 element goals and policies and the appendix of all the inventories consistent with what is required in comprehensive plans for transportation elements, and that it wouldn't make sense to take their comments over, you know, our technical expert consultant. And in fact, you know, after having the Puget Sound Regional Council, who is basically, that's their function, is transportation expertise, had very little criticism about the work that was done. So you see a lot of that matrix in the very beginning, going over the TAT's comments, technical comments with the staff, saying it just doesn't, it just doesn't seem to make sense to go against, you know, your consultant that you relied upon.
Well, is possible to merge, Commissioner Eckbert? Isn't it possible to merge those together instead of saying, well, we're going to totally replace it? That doesn't make any sense to replace it. But there may be some comments that they bring up that we could actually add and insert in the comp plan.
Well, I, you know, do you have any specifically that?
Well, like there's one on concurrency. I'm not sure we have enough wording on how concurrency is defined in the comp plan. Now, obviously the RCW is to do a better job of definition, and that's our guidance.
Right.
That's an example. I'm just trying to, I don't have the comp plan in front of me, so I can't look at it.
Well, the concurrency, the section on concurrency is consistent with the language in the RCW, and also the city has adopted a concurrency ordinance. So we have, I feel that we're covered quite well on the concurrency point, but if you want to, you know, I guess I'm still saying I don't really see where there was a need to make any changes.
Chairman McCain here, and you know, Mr. Rimbos and his group have been at many meetings in the past and, you know, have some very precise opinion. But I think that my way of thinking is that the traffic engineering people are the ones that have worked on the whole issue in Black Diamond, and that we can't really replace the citizens' input with something as technical as traffic. So what do you have any feelings about that, Ms. Kincaid?
Yeah, I would echo that as well. And then I'm looking through, you know, some of these comments that I had were not an absolute, I don't think it should be done, but I'm not that I didn't recommend them for the 2019 docket, which was last year.
Yeah.
And so that doesn't mean that they aren't viable to consider, but just wouldn't, because last year our timeline was even shorter than it is now. But we're looking at things, and he hit on the correcting the SR 169 language. So that was good. We're online there. Additional language for assumptions.
You know, this Commissioner Eckberg, what you brought up is something I was thinking about but didn't articulate. That it might be useful, instead of saying, well, we're not going to consider this, in your matrix, to say something like, well, this may be something that are not going to consider this year, but we'll definitely look at it next year. We're not going to do it, or versus we're going to consider it, but it won't be this year, it'll be next year.
Or maybe the year after. Some of these are big. Sure. That's great. And so what we'll do is when we take testimony next month, then I'll create a new matrix, just like this one, that will be more up to date on the new comments we received. I would anticipate that the people that and this discussion is on tape too. I guess we can just say for the record that when you look at this document that's dated, let's see, where's the date on the top of the page here? This one is dated November 19, 2019. We could just see on the record that what was meant or intended on the comments where it says that doesn't recommend putting on the 2019 preliminary docket just meant that it wasn't, it didn't mean that it would never be considered on any docket. So I guess I would hope that people that are paying attention and working with us in the public, if they can, this document is available to them as well, and maybe they might want to look through that, or if they were the commenters on some of this stuff, that they would come to give us their testimony for the hearing, and then the new matrix I'll make sure that we look at. What we would want to do, Commissioner Eckbert, is look at these when we form our work plan. You know what I mean? We're right. not this year, not next year, but we maybe could prioritize these and put together. These could underpin our work plan for the next couple of years.
Okay, sounds good.
Commissioner Amber, I don't know that we want to just because the city of Black Diamond hired these consultants to do these traffic studies, that we just want to say, well, you know, that's the word and we are going to accept their word. I was not impressed with some of their work, and I think we need to look carefully at the unique situation of Black Diamond and what the goals of the city are supposed to be, which the consultants may or may not take into account. So I don't want to give hired consultants we're going to accept their document for the final word.
Ms. Kincaid?
Yes.
Do you know how much that a typical traffic consultant, what that report cost the city of Black Diamond?
Right, transportation planning with the engineers, and if they have to do any modeling work, is extremely costly. And I believe we paid probably $60,000 to have this work done on our update. So you know we will conceivably, I know we're going to be getting new transportation counts, new traffic counts, that'll be important. And we also are looking forward to the master plan developer having to do a new model that's coming up pretty soon based on the number of units that get permitted. So it's wise for us to let them do the model. Their modeling update has to be a regional model. It'll be very helpful for us to inform and keep working on our transportation element. So I guess I'm saying that we have to think about timeliness. We just went through this update and with, I believe, some very qualified consultants that did the transportation work. But we will be looking ahead to continue when we get results from the from the regional study that has to be done, and we get results from taking our own transportation traffic counts to update our little city, not little, our city model. This is all coming on, and it's coming up pretty soon. So, and the other thing is our concurrency ordinance and the way that we track the model for concurrency. That's something that will, so all of these changing, you know, our life is always in flux. Things are always happening. So I'm not suggesting, Commissioner Amber, that this one time in place is the end all be all forever, but it's a snapshot of the best information we had at that time. We will have new information coming online, and then we make those adjustments when we have that.
Commissioner LaConte, are they the ones that created the models for that one public show?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Because there were a lot of errors in that.
So. Chairman McCain, Commissioner LaConte, do you have something specific that you're referring to?
Traffic flow volume over time, the velocity through the roundabouts, things like that.
So,
and that all comes down to the final. I have friends that do highway work, and I've seen their results, and not of our stuff, but it was different than this one.
Well, it occurs to me that we're going to have a couple of updates that are going to be coming quickly, as per Ms. Kincaid's just her most recent conversation. I don't know if, and I know the citizens' input is important. Mr. Rimbos is a lay person. I don't know that we could really intercede a professional document that was done by a credentialed traffic engineer with lay, you know, information provided by a lay person. And Ms. Kincaid, what would the PSRC have to say about that?
There are still, I'm an engineer, and there are still engineering elements that don't change across the profession.
Hmm. Well, the safeguards for a city or county doing, you know, decent work are the required reviews from the State of Washington Department of Commerce and the Puget Sound Regional Council. So our comp plan went through a rigorous review of these agencies, and it didn't, it held up pretty well, actually. So, but that's not to say that it can't, you know, first of all, we're required to do this update every 8 years, and we were so long in getting ours done. It was supposed to be done 2015, so, you know, 4 years later, we're already out of the gate, behind the eight ball. We'll be looking at an update again to potentially overhaul or hire new transportation consultants if that's needed. But another thing to remember is that the city is working on developing a transportation impact fee ordinance, which is a long time coming. So we have our concurrency that has to be met with new development. And then you will be seeing, I don't know how far this is. It's not going to make it this year, but next year you'll be seeing changes to the transportation element because we will have impact fees.
Commissioner Olson. So Barb, tonight, then what is there left to do in terms of moving forward?
Well, what is left to do is, based on your review and thoughts about last year's input on that matrix, based on the emails that you received, based on your own thoughts, and what I've put out here as a draft for you, are you comfortable moving this as is with that one change on broadening the fourth bullet to being the whole map for the transportation? Are you comfortable putting this out for public hearing as potentially your docket for this year's amendments, or do you want to add or change anything? before it goes out for hearing, before you have a hearing on it? That's the question.
This is Chairman McCain. I am comfortable with the docket as it's been presented here. I think it gives us a good jumping off point for lots of different points of discussion. And it would be my vote that it's adequate for a public hearing.
I would like to move forward as well, Commissioner Jensen.
I agree, Commissioner Butt.
Likewise, Commissioner Eckberg.
Commissioner Olson, I also agree.
Commissioner Amber, so the preliminary docket is going to be those six bullet points that you listed off. Is that correct?
I think there's more bullet points than that. It's on this June 15th, 2020 documents, but there's actually five numbers and a total of 11. 11 items on the docket.
Chairman McCain, I think there might be some confusion because this, so we have the docket information, the chapter changes. We had that as part of the packet. But I received just page one, which is number, it's docket items 1 through 5.
That's what we should be looking at. The document says Black Diamond Planning Commission, June 15, 2020. The title of the document is a one page. It says 2020 Proposed Preliminary Comprehensive Plan Docket. That's what we're talking about.
All right, so there are 5 chapters and there's several bullets. Are we all on the same page? Commissioners, the same piece of paper here?
I'm not there yet.
Can you share the screen with us?
No, I don't think so.
I think I can. Yes, I think I can.
That way we can know exactly what we're talking about.
Let me do this here. I may have to ask our clerk to do it because she's the host.
Or when was that email sent?
It was in your packet material.
I haven't seen it.
But down at the bottom, Barb, there's
I think it was earlier. I have an early version.
This share screen.
Okay, point of order, commissioners. We have to introduce ourselves if we want to make a comment for the record.
Yes. I can put this up here right now. I just wonder, there.
How do I stop my mute?
Okay.
Hold on. How do I stop my mute there?
All the commissioners see that?
Yes.
And we're all on the same page?
So this is what we're talking about putting out for public hearing. Putting that, fixing that in the Chapter 3, that little bit that fell out about the ADA.
Okay, let's
number two.
Hold on, that's Dave. This is Commissioner Amber. All right, how about for simplicity, at least from me on my end, why don't we take these one at a time? I'm okay with the first point, Chapter 3, changing that to include the ADA.
Okay.
Commissioner Olson, didn't we do these one at a time a little bit ago?
I think we did, Commissioner Amber, but we have to, I think, approve these to be on the docket.
All right, this is Chairman McCain. So I'm looking for a motion from one of the commissioners to accept the document dated June 15th, 2020 for the proposed comprehensive plan docket as we have just reviewed tonight.
I would so move, Commissioner Jensen.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Look at this for a second.
Who seconded that? We're going to take a vote.
Commissioner Olson seconded it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we set aside this information we've reviewed tonight for the public hearing. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
I oppose.
Abstentions? Motion carries. So, Ms. Kincaid, we are going to kind of move this ahead to the public hearing next month. Ms. Kincaid?
There we go. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Well, boy, these Zoom meetings eat your battery. I was there working away and my battery died. Okay.
So this is Chairman McCain. So did you hear that we made a motion, which was seconded, to move ahead with this, the preliminary comprehensive plan docket as proposed?
I did not, but thank you very much.
Okay. Karina, do you have the roll call? Could you recant the vote, please?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see here. And you need what? I'm sorry.
The vote, please, on that last motion.
Let's see.
It was all ayes except Dave.
Yeah, we had all in favor was Commissioner LeConte, Jensen, Butt, McCain, Ekberg, and Olson. And then rejecting Commissioner Amber.
Abstentions were none. So just so Ms. Kincaid, you have that the vote or the motion has been accepted and recorded. So it seems to me like we can move forward with that.
That's great. And so our public hearing, our scheduled, regular scheduled meeting in July falls on July 7. I'm looking at my calendar, right?
Okay.
And so then what we will do is we will put this docket out. It'll look the same way, except for we talked about expanding that, the map, not just the looking at the, studying the alternative Southeast Loop connector location, but study the whole map. That'll be the change. That will go out well in advance for public hearing on July 7th. And what we do is we have some legislative rules on how to take public testimony when we do these virtual meetings. That will be available to all the folks. It'll be linked to the hearing notice. And so then if anyone has questions as well, but these policies provide the framework for how we conduct a legislative hearing virtually and how we take the public testimony.
Great. There's always something to work on, I think, with this new normal of ours. So if I run through the rest of this, we've covered at our last week's meeting. And at this point in time, I appreciate all of your attention and time. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Commissioner Olson, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Do I have a second?
Commissioner Butt, I second.
Okay, it's moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, commissioners. We'll look forward to seeing you in July.
Thank you, and happy 4th, you guys. I'll look forward to seeing you all on the 7th.
Thank you so
much. See you guys.
Good night, everybody.
Yep. Good night.
Night.